This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Support our troops. In the United States, this command is on the lips of politicians and military spokespeople. It's plastered on car bumpers by the thousands, and it's a rallying cry for supporters of the Bush administration and the Iraq War. But what does it mean? With an army stretched to capacity and an administration slashing benefits for veterans, an increasing number of military families are saying that the only real way to support U.S. troops is to send them home. Eric Blickenstaff is the brother of Joe Blickenstaff. Joe was 23 years old when he was killed while serving in Iraq in 2003. Eric is with Gold Star Families for Peace, a group of families whose loved ones have been killed in Iraq that is affiliated with Military Families Speak Out, a group of military families committed to bringing an end to the Iraq War. Eric Blickenstaff joins us on the line from Portland, Oregon. Hi, Eric.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us this morning.
Oh, yes. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us about your brother, Joe? What kind of person was he?
Joe just really enjoyed doing anything that was funny. If it didn't bring him humor, then he wasn't going to do it. Very much opinionated and always going to, you know, be doing what he wanted to do. And I've, you know, that was annoying at times, but really I've learned from him about the value of just his honesty and, you know, enjoying life.
And why did he decide to join the military?
Well, Joe was actually born in Canada and adopted when he was young. And he didn't really fit well with the school system and, you know, was really opinionated, as I said, and so he dropped out of school, eventually got his GED. And as you know, kids with their GED don't have many opportunities, or even if you just get your diploma, but there's not a lot of people knocking down your door to give you jobs. So Joe's main reason was to find a, you know, have a job and get some education or, some training.
And what do you think were the things that influenced him to make that move to go to the military? How did he picture how that career might be?
When Joe told me he was going in, I just really couldn't believe it, because, you know, he was a kid who had piercings in his ears, in his eyebrows, tattoos all up and down his arms, really didn't like authority. But he told me he was going to be a glorified police officer, that he'd just, you know, at worst be in another country holding a gun. You know, I can remember him, you know, putting his hands up and motioning like he has a gun, saying, "Hey, you can't come in here." You know, like just something like, and then laughing like that would be the extent of it. It didn't seem to fit him, the military style, but, you know, he learned from it, and some things were good for him, help him get some structure, but at the same time, he wasn't going to re-enlist.
And I understand he joined the military before the events of 9/11, so he might have had a really different picture of what that military service might have involved.
Oh, exactly. He graduated, and we celebrated his graduation from boot camp on September 10th. And so, literally, I mean, the very first day of his actual, you know, service out of boot camp was September 11th. And, you know, all of us just afraid from that time that he was going to go to a war, you know.
How did you feel about your brother joining the Army at the time?
You know, I just really didn't see it fitting who he was. He was just such a free spirit and independent. I thought it was going to... I was more worried about him not wanting to follow their orders and, you know, have conflict and get in trouble. After September 11th happened, I was scared. I mean, you know, everybody was wondering how to best respond to our nation being attacked. And while I was proud that my brother had, you know, signed up to protect our freedoms, even if going to Afghanistan was protecting our freedoms, I didn't want my brother to go. No one does, I don't think. But as more information came out that maybe that wasn't really the best course of action, and then about Iraq, which absolutely has nothing to do with September 11th, you know, very, very scared, and just feels like, why? You know, why is he? Why is this happening?
Were you able to? Now I understand that you didn't think the war was a good idea. Were you able to speak out about that while your brother was alive and in the military?
No, I really wasn't able to speak out about it, and I also just really wasn't able to even talk about it in private with my friends. I just had to keep myself not believing that it was right, but just true to my brother, I guess, is how I would say it. And I knew he'd have to go through the horrors of war, and the last thing in the world I would want is him to think I didn't support him or that I shamed him, you know, didn't. And this administration has done such a good job of saying if you don't support the war, you don't support the troops, so much so that even the soldiers and their families believe that.
Can you talk about that a little more? Why is it so hard for military families to speak out about what's happening in the military?
Well, I think the first thing is, you, like I said, I may not be speaking out now if my brother was alive, because he has to go. I mean, they get ordered to run over women and children, to hold them at gunpoint, to shoot them, all in the name of protecting their country. And if that's not enough, in the name of protecting their friends, you know. So the last thing I wanted was my brother not to feel I supported him, and that's what I hear from many, many, many friends and members whose loved ones are in the military. They'll just never speak out or join our group until, you know, it's over, you know, and because they want, or even after that. I mean, you know, I mean, the Vietnam vets are suffering 30 years later, you know. So, but more significant reasons are the soldiers have been punished when their parents have spoken out, or spouses. Several examples of soldiers being smoked in front of their unit, which is giving embarrassed, doing extra duty, basically told, you know, your parents don't support this effort, you know. And so a parent speaks out here and their child gets punished in Iraq. That's not exactly the freedom of speech that my brother supposedly died for, you know.
Mm. It must be just a terribly conflicting situation to be in as a member of a family who has someone in the military.
Well, it was horrible at the time, and I'm glad I can speak out now, and I feel like I speak for those who want to but don't have a voice because they're afraid of the reasons I previously mentioned. And it was still hard. I mean, it divides the family too. I mean, if you speak out, you're going to go against what the rest of the family thinks, what your loved one serving thinks. Or for me, the first 6 months after my brother died, I felt like I was dishonoring him if I spoke out. And it wasn't until I saw Fahrenheit 9/11 and Liza Lipscomb say exactly how I felt that I said, yep, that's okay. I can still honor my brother and his desire to protect our nation, but speak out against this war.
How have the U.S. government and the military failed to provide meaningful support to the troops?
Oh, in so many ways. From the very moment... you know, you talk about when my brother died, and you get a form letter from Rumsfeld and Bush. They didn't even sign about how honored we should be, feel proud we should be about my brother who died for the country. They didn't even sign it; had nothing to do with it. We waited 8 months to read my brother's autopsy that was done 2 weeks later. I mean, they were in no hurry to soothe our family, you know, to give us any information about how he died. The soldiers themselves in this unit cried and were doing everything they can, but they don't have the power to give us that information. Then you talk about the soldiers over there. I mean, some of them are only getting one meal a day. Especially the National Guard units are being abused. They're not even having their basic needs met over there. And then it's being hidden. But the worst part of all of it is that even once they endure all that and they come back, the VA benefits have been cut. There's, especially in Oregon here, unemployment so high. I mean, over half the soldiers coming back from the Guard don't have jobs. So it's just, they say support the troops, but they cut all the programs and benefits that will help them the most. And it's just an outright lie.
Could you just give us a little picture of what the Veterans Administration benefits might be? Because people in Canada wouldn't necessarily be familiar with that.
Well, Veterans Administration, they'll take care of all of your health needs, physical and mental health. and they have services in their clinic, but also in the home. But it's so bad that, you know, if you look at how we treated the Vietnam veterans, 30% of the homeless in America are Vietnam vets. 30 years later, they still need to go to, a lot of them still need weekly counseling or weekly groups. A lot of them need medication every day. And so now what they've done is they've pitted the Vietnam vets against the Iraq vets. The Vietnam vets now have to wait longer to get those services that just maintain them so the Iraq vets can get what they need. And that's just wrong. They should both get what they need. The mental health thing is most concerning to me, as it's estimated 100,000 U.S. soldiers will have long-term mental health needs, and probably about, I'd say, 500,000 will have short-term mental health needs.
What have Military Families Speak Out and Gold Star Families for Peace been doing to raise awareness about what's happening to soldiers?
Well, we speak out every chance we get about the reality of what is happening to our family members, what we see, and what's happening in Iraq. It's not being talked about, and we feel like our voice is the strongest because it's we know firsthand what's actually happening. We talk at events like the anniversary of the war, the inauguration. We had a press conferences all over the nation, and actually in England as well. Just when individual stories come up about soldiers not being treated right, we support the soldiers who refuse to go back to Iraq because of what's happening. We support soldiers whose contracts have been extended, the backdoor draft. Just really any chance we get, we're going to speak out about what's really happening.
Americans have become so polarized over the war, Eric. How do you get people to who say they support the troops to actually take these issues seriously?
Well, I mean, you try. I mean, one thing I do is I just try to call them out and say, if you really support the troops, then look at the VA and what's happening and what they need, you know, and advocate for that. You know, we need more money, and really, I think that the answer is that if people really started looking at it, the answer is we can't sustain them in Iraq, and we have to bring them home. But on a personal level, you try to engage them in a conversation about what do they know, what do they think the soldiers need, what do they know that's going on. The people who are really conservative and kind of use that as their conservative motto, they won't engage in those conversations with you, though. They kind of want to tell you you're wrong and walk away.
Eric, I really appreciate your taking the time to talk to me this morning, and also for the work that you're doing.
Yes, and if I might just say, I encourage people to go to our website at mfso.org.
Great, I will.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Eric Blickenstaff with Gold Star Families for Peace in Portland, Oregon, and you can find the Gold Star Families for Peace on the website GSFP, and Military Families Speak Out, so it would be mfso.org.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.